Do you understand the ramifications that this case could have?
It was supposed to be a system that benefited all sides.
So here's the $64,000 question.
COVID-19, in my opinion, is the meteorite that hit the earth.
It's headed to the Supreme Court in a bunch of different lanes.
Tell us about that.
Welcome to Civilly Speaking with host Sean Harris. Each month, Civilly Speaking brings you interviews on practical and timely legal issues on the local and national level.
We hope these stories inspire you and remind you of the impact we have as advocates for our clients. We'll see you here on the next episode of Civilly Speaking. Hello, and welcome to Civilly Speaking, OAJ's podcast for trial lawyers by trial lawyers. I'm your host, Sean Harris. Today, we're talking with the keynote speaker at OAJ's upcoming paralegal convention, Lauren Ruth Martin. Before we get started, a quick sponsor message. Key Evidence is your complete document management source. From the moment they partner with your firm, the experts at Key Evidence put all of their resources to work for you and your client, from copying and scanning to exhibit boards, EDD, and more. Contact Todd at t.gazvoda@key-evidence.com. Lauren, thanks so much for joining us here on Civilly Speaking.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited about OAJ, like the paralegal conference, and getting to do this is just hyping me up for it.
I should mention for our listeners, Lauren is a licensed professional counselor with the clinical specializations of unhelpful perfectionism, which is something lawyers don't know anything about, chronic depression, anxiety, eating disorders, and chronic suicidality. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
She's also a podcast host herself and a keynote and workshop presenter discussing burnout and perfectionism to universities and companies like News Channel 5. I guess we should start at the beginning. When we use a term like burnout, what are we talking about?
And here's the thing. We could all Google burnout and we're going to get a ton of different perspectives on it. I personally define burnout as a bandwidth issue because we can be burned out, exhausted, drained from having lots of positive things in our lives. You know, if you think about it for us as lawyers, paralegals, anybody in this industry, being busy means that you're getting fed, means that like you're maybe making a little bit extra spending money, like your needs and your wants are being met. And if we have too much of that, it can be taxing and draining. And so that idea of burnout can be a sense of fatigue, exhaustion, but it's met with this idea of we're maxed out. Like our bandwidth is being tested when we're in those phases.
And what kinds of symptoms do you see in the legal profession, someone who is suffering from burnout?
It can look one of two ways. And this is like a really broad brush, but either you're an underfunctioner or you're an overfunctioner, or you can kind of be both, but people tend to lean to one and sometimes maybe overcorrect. So if you're beginning to feel burned out and you're an overfunctioner, you're going to find that maybe you're taking on more projects. You're trying to override your need to rest, stepping up to the plate, which can be seen as being a team player. But in all reality, it's a way of trying to regain control and a sense of what's going on, or not being seen as weak, or hiding that maybe there's some like stuff going on in the background that they don't want seen. And then on the other side of underfunctioning, that's when it's isolating, not talking to teammates or coworkers about what's happening, shutting down, deferring work to other people, trying to more so stay in the background and really just isolate and numb out. Like that's what it can look like on a professional level. And then behind the scenes, either way that you go, I mean, this is where we all go to our crappy coping, you know, whether that's drinking, spending, scrolling, all of that lovely stuff is really just a symptom of something greater.
And I would imagine you see this across the spectrum in various workplaces, but particularly in the legal environment.
Oh yeah. Well, it's hard because as a helper, and I tend to work with a lot of people that are helping or serving, whether it's in the law profession or even like other mental health professionals, it's hard because burnout is very real, but it's also tied to a greater purpose. And there's that idea of if we're serving other people, that can even, we don't want to let other people down. So burnout itself can be very extreme, but like, let's be real. When you're burned out as like a marketer, it's marketing. Like, nobody's lives are at stake. But when you're in a field like being a lawyer or a health professional or even like a teacher, there's people's lives, well-beings, money, time, energy on the line.
And I mentioned in the introduction the concept of perfectionism. Talk to us about how that correlates or goes along with burnout.
Was that idea, like, many of us got to where we are because we, one, are usually right. Like, we have like some natural gifts that have been given to us, whether that's just being able to connect the dots or being an expert at Googling and being able, I didn't know that like Googling is a skill, but it really is. I don't have that skill, but oh my gosh, like being able to research and compile stuff is fantastic.
We're probably too old to have that skill.
Probably. I was going to say my brother's 25. Like he's far better than I am. We missed out on that, but I actually think that's a good thing because I don't want to know everything all the time. I want to live in, I know too much already.
You'd probably get burned out if you did that.
You probably would. That Google. So this is the summation of the podcast. Google is the source of all of our burnout.
Yep, let's done. Just do this
great Google and be done with it.
What kinds of things should we be on the lookout for if we're trying to avoid burnout and succumbing to perfectionist tendencies?
I think the idea of resentment and cynicism, like when it's beginning to creep in, that's when we know that our boundaries haven't been honored. If we're constantly pouring out and there's not as much reciprocity, if our cynicism is really showing up, like, well, I could ask the team to do this, but I'm just gonna have to edit it anyway, so I might as well do it. That seems like throwing shade at other people, but some of it is a reality. And when we build that resentment, we start isolating and sort of going to our island, whether that's the island of overfunctioning or the island of underfunctioning. So I think when that starts to get built, and it starts out really small, it's kind of like that irritability, like where everything just gets on our nerves. And it's like, why wasn't who didn't turn the coffee maker on? Do I have to do everything around here? When we start having those quips happening more frequently in our mind, that means that we're starting to tread onto the realm of burnout.
Which is why I got a Keurig, so you can just make your own coffee and then you're done.
Exactly. See, yeah. Like if we eliminate Google, everybody gets a Keurig, we're good to go.
There's two practical steps. This is not theoretical. These are practical steps you can implement in your office.
Exactly. Actually, the Keurig, though, is a good idea because it's that idea of, like, if we do think about how to begin resolving burnout, a lot of our solutions actually need to be practical and simple.
Well, you mentioned the concept of boundaries, and I think everybody is probably familiar with, you know, why that's a good idea, but it's probably easier said than done.
Absolutely.
Talk to us about setting boundaries, why that's important, and how do we do that in a professional setting?
I think what's really hard is that most of our relationships with boundaries have been given, our initial engagement with boundaries is when it's a result of something. Like, since you did this, I now have to put up a boundary. At least that's what I was taught. Maybe that was some of the Southern politeness coming out of, it's expected of you to not have boundaries or expectations, and especially it's helping people. But the idea of flipping that and seeing boundaries as a guidebook for other people, it's actually preserving the relationship. It's the idea of going ahead and having your fence up, but the gates are built in. And then you can tell people, hey, when the gates are open, come on in. But when the gates are closed, don't cross. And it's that idea of, that's just kind. You know, I love it if I know that if I call a friend at 7 a.m., they're going to get irritated. So I know to wait till 8, like, so that I don't accidentally step on somebody's toes. So I think if we're looking at it in a professional sense, us getting used to having more boundaries up front, even though it may come across cold, rigid, a little bit, dare I say, legalistic, it's actually more preserving. And there's a way that boundaries can be given in a kind and compassionate way, so that we're not scaring people off, but we're just letting people know, hey, don't go there.
Yeah, because it's a balance, right? I mean, you want to be a team player. You want to be able to help the organization as much as you're able to. But we're trying to be respectful, as you say, of boundaries. And that's the rub, right? That's the balance.
And that idea of, if you have an idea of somebody's boundaries, now you can be collaborative. and it's like, hey, I know you don't answer emails from noon to one every day, or you don't answer phone calls from noon to one. Can we schedule a meeting at like right at 1:05? Or can I email you an update and you call me when you get back in the office? So now it's collaborative where everybody's needs. It's similar to being kind of like a divorce attorney. If both parties walk away sacrificing a little bit, then you've done a good job. Like if both parties are kind of a little bit irritated, but they did get some of their needs met, then that's fine. And boundaries can be seen in the same sense of, if we know where people's non-negotiables are, now you have more wiggle room to see where there can be sacrifices made for the team or for the greater good.
Lauren, I know in one of your recent podcast episodes, you talked about the concept of, quote, being on.
Yeah.
And how that can lead to burnout. Talk to us about, again, attorneys avoiding that or coming back after it's already happened.
That it's so hard when that's a part of our job. And I think it's an opportunity for us to train. And this sounds, when I say train other people, it's kind of like when people are like, you need to train your husbands, train your wives. I know it can sound a little weird, but roll with me here. It's an opportunity to train other people to gain perspectives of what we do. Because in most of my experiences of working with people such as lawyers or like those in higher up positions, there's this belief that we're not allowed to show vulnerabilities. We're not allowed to show our weak spots, that being on goes beyond the office. And we need to work on letting other people know that the jobs that we have do have an impact on us. We may not be able to, sometimes I feel awful when I get home from work and like my kid and my husband are there and my husband works in a job, like he works from home. He's not around humans at all. Like he maybe has some phone meetings, but that's it. So he's ready to interact. And I'm like, I have just taken on everybody's emotions for a little bit. I've got to go. I need a minute. But the more that we tell people that that's actually a cost of the job, they then understand that what we're doing isn't meant to be harsh. They get to see our humanity. And I think that's something as people that work in high stress, high level environments don't recognize, is that the higher up we get, the more pressure that we have on us, we begin to lose our humanity and we don't take that to those around us. So that idea of being on, you may not be able to shape as much in your job because that's part of what you do, but being able to have the freedom to take that off when we get home can give us some respite from being on.
Well, and obviously email and a pandemic have only intensified the push and the pull, right, of feeling the need to be on but not wanting to be accessible.
That's what got me. I had my own bout of really intense burnout in 2020 and 2021 because, hello, the world was a dumpster fire and there was a demand for those in my field and I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't doing anything. So why not just be more available? Why not take on an extra few sessions? Why not support people by through email or calling them in for an extra check-in? Like it's easy to stretch yourself when the demand is there and you see the need.
You're obviously speaking at the paralegal convention coming up on September 30th. Are paralegals and staff members in our offices shoulder a lot?
Yes, they do.
That's an understatement. Maybe it's an obvious question, but how do you see burnout affecting their productivity and ability to function as part of the team?
I think that's like where it's hard because it's that push and pull. It's that both and. Part of a paralegal's job is to make things efficient, to shoulder some of the burden, to make things run smoothly so that lawyers can lawyer. So with that, it's hard because, and maybe this is the way if we think about how to begin countering burnout, is to be able to have seasons and for us to be able to scale what good enough is for that day. And that's something that I'm bringing to the keynote for the paralegal conference, is that idea of how can we begin defining good enough? How can we begin defining urgency in the moment so that we actually have markers and we can begin celebrating our efforts and our wins? Because as soon as one case is done and you win, it's on to the next one. So how do you recognize and appreciate and acknowledge all the work that got you there and celebrate the win or even the loss? The effort was still a good fight. You know, how can we find value in that so that we're not just outcome based, especially when the outcomes are very short lived?
Lauren, Ruth, Martin, thanks so much for joining us here on Sibley Speaking.
Thank you.
And as a reminder, September 29 and 30 is OAJ's Paralegal Convention. We're excited to have Lauren Ruth Martin as our keynote speaker this year. 2021 was the first ever OAJ Paralegal Convention, and it was a huge hit. So be sure that the paralegals and legal assistants in your office get registered. Everybody in my office came last year. They loved it, and they are coming back this year. You can register at oajustice.org/paralegal22. If you'd like to hear more from Lauren, you can check out her podcast, Nine to Kind, I see what you did there, on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. For our listeners out there, if you like our podcast, be sure to subscribe on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you here on the next episode of Sibley Speaking.